Today's podcast is brought to you by Howie's new book, Paperboy. To order today, go to HowieCarshow.com and click on store.
Live from the Aviva Trattoria studio, it's the Grace Curley Show.
We got to bring in a new voice, a young voice, a rising voice, Grace Curley.
You can read Grace's work in the Boston Herald and the Spectator.
Especially Grace. Grace, stand up.
Here's the millennial with the mic, Grace Curley.
Everyone, welcome back to the Grace Curley Show. Thank you all so much for joining us today. As always, I say it every day, but I genuinely mean it. I know there's a lot of stuff out there you could be listening to, and we appreciate that you always choose the Grace Curley Show. It's Tuesday. We've got a lot that we're keeping an eye on. We are monitoring the Trump trial, the hush money trial that is underway in New York City. Later on, I am going to play sound from, you know who it is, my favorite George Washington Law School professor, Jonathan Turley. He's basically on TV just laying out how thin Alvin Bragg's gruel really is in this case. And I think it even came as a shock to him. Like, he didn't have high hopes for it, but what he saw yesterday and what he's been seeing today, he is not impressed. So we will get to that. We will also give you some updates from Chicago, where residents are once again voicing their frustration with the illegal alien overflow, and they are not happy with how it's being handled by the uber-progressive mayor, Brandon Johnson. Now, as much as I'm rooting for the people in Chicago to have their voices heard and to make Brandon Johnson listen to them and how unhappy they are, I also, part of me, Jared, goes, you get what you pay for. Like, you get, elections have consequences. You had Lori Lightfoot in there, and you kicked her out, which is huge. I mean, getting an incumbent mayor out of Chicago is no small feat. And what do you do with that? Well, you take that, I'm not good with sports analogies, Jared, but you fumble the ball at the, what's the
goal line. Line. Or the goal 1 yard line.
That's what you do. You have it. You clench defeat from the jaws of victory. You have a chance to make a change, and you elect someone who some may argue, including myself, is more progressive than Lori Lightfoot, who, by the way, is now busy investigating the world's worst mayor. So she's got her hands full. And they leave it to Brandon Johnson, who is somehow doing a worse job. It's always possible. Like, never underestimate that. Never look at a politician and think to yourself, because I've made this mistake before. You look at a politician and you think, well, whoever we elect, I mean, as long as we get this person out, it can't get much worse. Man plans and God laughs. God is laughing at you. God is going, oh, you don't think it could get worse? You ain't seen nothing yet. So we will get to that. We also have Toby Leary, who we are always honored to have. He'll join us in the 2:00. But I think it is appropriate today to start out with more fallout, more updates on the Jew-hating mobs and autonomous zones and tent cities popping up on all of these college campuses all over the country. This is a giant advertisement as to why to think of other paths for your children beyond higher education. Why you should be educating your children on things like trade schools and, you know, just other routes that they could take if they feel so inclined. You can get a real understanding of how sheep-like these students of higher education really are by how quickly these bad ideas, these tent cities catch on. Did you know? It was like overnight. Only sheep could act this in sync this quickly. Columbia has an encampment, and they're chanting death to America. So the scientists, the nerds at MIT are like, everybody get your poster boards ready. We're going to have a scientists against genocide sit-in tonight. And then as that's happening, the NYU students are like, hurry up. We're going to take over the cafeteria in the name of freeing Palestine. Everybody get here now. It's amazing. So many free thinkers are being coddled at these universities. So many free thinkers amongst these anti-Semitic zombies that are overtaking college campuses. And if we're going to talk zombies, we should We should give some respect to the king of all the zombies, which would be President Joe Biden, who is in Virginia. And, you know, Jared, you weren't here yesterday. I knew it was Earth Day. I didn't give as much attention to it as I probably should have. I knew that Howie was going to talk about Earth Day. That's kind of his thing. I didn't want to step on his toes. But at the same time, now I look back and I go, shame on me, because how many Earth Days do we have left? Really, when you think about it. If we're going, it depends whose clock you're going by. But if you're going by the Queen AOC's clock, I mean, what are we at, like four left, maybe five?
Maximum.
Depending on how the crews of the Green Corps.
Unless Trump gets reelected, in which case we have 1 year left and that's it.
Oh, man. It's a tricky game to play with this calendar, with this clock, this doomsday clock. So we didn't give a lot of attention to Earth Day, but luckily Joe Biden said something so outrageous that we get to go back and we make up for it. So Joe Biden's in Virginia yesterday wandering around the woods, and he should have really stuck with what he knows. You know, he should have talked about cannibals or trains or deers in Kevlar vests. Like, stick to, they say that about writers. They say, write what you know. With Joe Biden, they should say, ramble about what you know. Like, don't ramble, you know, go back to the things you're comfortable with, the things that just flow out of you, that just ooze out of you, despite protest from your aides, your staffers. It doesn't matter. It's going to come out either way. But instead, Joe decides to weigh in. He's asked about these riots at these schools. And I want you to take a listen to this, and then we'll break it down. We're going to take your calls this whole first hour. This is Joe Biden, the president of the United States, attempting to denounce the anti-Semitic protests. Cut one.
And the anti-Semitic protests on college campuses.
I condemn the anti-Semitic protests. That's why I've set up a program to deal with that. I also condemn those who don't understand what's going on with the Palestinians and how they're being...
Should the Columbia University president resign?
Right this way.
I didn't know that. I'll have to find out more about it.
Should he resign?
Okay, so it's kind of twofold. Like everything with Joe Biden, you know, you got to take it piece by piece. You got to take it in chunks. First chunk is that he's trying to create a moral equivalence between the people who are chanting death to America and we are Hamas and calling Jewish people pigs and the people who are pro-Israel. That's what he wants to happen here. He's having his both sides moment, essentially, and we are going to get to that. But the second part, which I really enjoy, is he thinks that she's telling him, she's asking him. Because there used to be a time where the president got access to information before some of us did. Like the president would get the PDBs and would be very well-versed in foreign policy,
the PDB.
Very well-versed in things going on all over the country, domestic affairs. There used to be a time, and it wasn't that long ago. I'll give you a hint. There was an orange man at 1600 Pennsylvania Avenue where you could go to the president and maybe get some information that nobody else knows. Maybe, you know, coax him into giving you something, a little tidbit of information. Those days are long gone. That ship has sailed. Now the president thinks they're telling him stuff and they're breaking news to him. He's like, did she resign? I didn't see that. No, we're asking you if she should resign. But I think the reporter knew, I'm not going to push this. Clearly the man's out of his mind. So let's go back to the first part, though. This idea of creating a moral equivalence. I want to play Alan Dershowitz here, and then I'll give you my take. This is cut to Alan Dershowitz on Fox with Hannity last night.
It was absolutely outrageous for President Biden to create a moral equivalent, the same kind of moral equivalence he complained about in Charlottesville, between anti-Semitic protests, which he condemns, and then he says, I also condemn those who don't understand what's going on with the Palestinians. What an outrageous moral comparison. Nobody could in any way support what Hamas did, yet these kids are yelling, I am Hamas. We want to repeat the rapes over and over again 1,000 times, and he's equating that morally with people who reasonably believe that what's happening to the Palestinians is largely the fault of Hamas.
Yeah, and I don't even think he's doing, like, as offensive as it is, it's also, it makes me think, how many fronts can this guy be feckless on? Like, how many issues can he just be lost and just kind of riding the fence on? And there was a really good piece today in Tablet Tablet magazine does a great job with all of, you know, covering this anti-Semitism that's going on around the world. And it was by Lee Leibovitz, and the headline really caught my attention. And you've heard this before, like, to stand for nothing, you'll fall for anything. You know that expression? The headline was, to be on everyone's side is to be on no one's. And that's what Joe Biden's trying to do. He's trying to keep the AOC contingency. We'll get to her, by the way. She's trying to pull the peaceful protest line from 2020. She's trying to use that now. Oh, the mostly peaceful protests at these schools. And you know what else I don't want to hear, Jared? She tries to do this thing where she's like, well, in other what she's trying, and I'm going to summarize it here, is that a couple bad apples are ruining the protests. You know, for the most part, the protests have a good message. I don't go for that anymore. Because you know what that doesn't work for? It doesn't work for our side. If there's a couple bad apples amongst a protest that involves MAGA hats, you can rest assured, you can bet your bottom that we're all going to be painted with the same brush. Nobody's going in looking for shades of nuance with a group of MAGA people. So forgive me if when I see three people chanting, "We are Hamas," I'm good. I've got a sense of how the whole thing's going to work out. We'll talk about this. We'll also discuss how, you know, I texted Caroline Leavitt today, and I'm sure she gets so many of these texts. I like to give her messages for Trump. And I really, Jared, I use it sparingly because I know at some point she's going to say, lose my number, unsubscribe. I want to be off this chat. But I said, you've got to tell Trump to start going around the country telling people that he wasn't going to run for president until he heard Joe Biden say there were very fine people on both sides. Like, that will get under Joe's skin. And I thought, you know what? That's worth texting.
I never ever thought that I'd see what I saw in Charlotte.
But David Harsanyi, you guys know I sound like a broken record. I love David Harsanyi. He points out this actually isn't similar to what Trump did. What Trump did with Charlottesville and what Trump clarified and was very specific about is not even close to what Joe Biden said. What Joe Biden said is so much more outrageous than what Donald Trump said. And we'll kind of break down why. We're also going to take your calls, 844-500-4242. And how about this for a headline? These pro-Palestinian, pro-Hamas protesters, they've done something I never thought was possible. They've made Alec Baldwin sympathetic. When you are making Alec Baldwin into a sympathetic figure, I got news for you. You are losing this battle.
Consider the source.
I never thought I'd see the day where I'm looking at a video going, oh man, Alec Baldwin, man, that sucks. Poor guy. Never thought I'd see the day. But hey, hell hath frozen over. We'll be right back. 844-500-4242. We've got a great show for you. We've got so much sound, so many great people joining us. So don't go anywhere. We'll be right back. This is The Grace Curley Show.
Follow Grace on Twitter at @G_Curley. This is The Grace Curley Show.
I would love to get everyone's take on the anti-Semitic, pro-Hamas riots going on across campuses, including NYU, Columbia, MIT got in on it last night, scientists against genocide. But I want to talk about that, by the way, this genocide thing that keeps getting thrown around by the anti-Israel protesters. It's starting to aggravate me, and I was able to find a really good explanation by someone. I don't play a lot of Joe Rogan on here, not because I don't like Joe Rogan, but you know, if you listen to it, it's like 3 hours long. Sometimes it's hard to find short clips. But he had this guest on, Coleman Hughes, who's an author and actually a graduate of Columbia University, ironically enough. And he's speaking about the term genocide and why it does not apply to what Israel is doing in Gaza, and we will get to that. But first, today's poll question is brought to you by J.J. Manning Auctioneers. Whether residential, commercial, or land, J.J. Manning can get your property sold now. To learn more, contact Charlie Gill at 800-521-0111 or go to jjmanning.com. With over 16,000 sales and satisfied clients, you can be the next one. Jared, what is the poll question and what are the results thus far?
Today's poll question, which you can vote in at gracecurlyshow.com, is do you think universities will move graduations to Zoom because of the peaceful protests? Yes, no, or maybe a handful.
Okay, so in the Wall Street Journal, there's a story about this student named Ezra Dayanim and how he attends Columbia University. His graduation is next month. He's expecting there to be interruptions, protests, things of that nature. And he said he's very relieved his grandparents are not making the trip. His sister is going to come, his parents. But he said, you know, they went to my sister's graduation, but my grandparents are not going to come to this graduation. And he said, I can't imagine my grandparents being able to walk around on campus peacefully. All it takes is one person to say something, knock them over. And I was thinking about this because yesterday we got news, not only the professor at Columbia, but the students were being told, you know, stay home. The professor had his card deactivated. You know, you're safer to stay home. So it's so backwards. It's like they're punishing the victims and coddling the aggressors and allowing these anti-Semitic crazy people to have their way and dominate the campus. And the other students who are paying tuition, who are there to learn, can't go about their daily lives because it's being disrupted by this madness. And because of that, I think some students were asked to go to class via Zoom. And this got me thinking that graduations, I mean, talk about a perfect opportunity for these protesters to just ruin something, to just go crazy. They're doing it right now without any sort of big event going on. They're probably licking their chops to take on these graduations, these ceremonies. And I wouldn't be surprised if these schools, how feckless and backwards and just despicable they are, if they don't tell the students, hey, it's going to be like COVID. We're going to do the graduations via Zoom. So yeah, I do think they'll do it.
55% say maybe a handful, 28% say yes, and 17% say no.
Yeah, there'll be definitely, I mean, there's already uproar from parents who are saying, we want our tuition back. Like, if you're going to tell our kid they can't go to class because they're Jewish, then we want some tuition back. So it'll be something to watch this play out. Jerry, you're up next on the Grace Curley Show. What's going on, Jerry?
Good afternoon, Grace. Doing a lot of chair dancing today, I see.
Always.
By the way, all of those peaceful protesters down at the colleges, they speak very good Arabic, if you ask my opinion. They don't miss a beat. And what I mean by that is a lot of these protesters are foreign exchange students, Grace. It's just ridiculous. You know, they're getting free tuition, free this, free that, and then they chant death to America and death to Israel? Give me a break.
Yeah, and I am curious, you know, if you are going to chant death to America, if you're going to wear a covering over your head and you're going to chant all these things on college campuses, does Christopher Wray or the FBI have any inclination to investigate those students? Probably not. It's probably just freedom of speech. But if you decide to go to a Latin mass, then watch out. You know, you might have your credit card statements or your emails looked into, or maybe your phone wires tapped. It's just another day living in the USA. When we come back, we will play the sound from AOC, who she's the head of the squad, and she thinks it's mostly peaceful protests. We'll talk about that on the way back.
Live from the Aviva Trattoria Studio.
You know what we haven't done in a while, Jared, and there's a lot of heavy news, as always, in Joe Biden's America, but it'd be fun to do this because we haven't checked in with the vice president in a very long time, and sometimes I catch myself thinking, where in the world is Kamala Harris.
Freedom!
Tell me where in the world is
Kamala Harris.
Tell me where in the world is.
Tell me where can't she be?
That's what a two-time
You know, the only reason I was actually thinking, well, there was two reasons. One is because yesterday this report came out in CNN that the Biden administration is hesitant to send her on certain campaign stops because of her laugh. They think her laugh could be detrimental to
Oh, yeah.
And as much as I can't stand the woman's laugh, and she laughs at absolutely everything, for them to pretend that's going to be the thing that's going to take down this campaign, okay. Let's be realistic here. You guys have some bigger fish to fry. But so I saw that, and then yesterday, Joe Biden celebrating Earth Day with AOC, and I was thinking, AOC was giving vice president. Like, Joe Biden saying he takes his advice from her. He was really, really laying it on thick for Queen Green. And I was kind of thinking, ooh, watch out, Kamala. I don't know, would AOC be old enough?
Yeah, this...
Is there an age requirement for... There's got to be one for VPs at 35?
35, yeah. So this time around, I believe she is old enough.
Okay, so that's what I'm saying, is you have to be on guard, Kamala, because AOC was very vice presidential at Earth Day yesterday. And what that means to me right now when I say very vice presidential is she was saying ridiculous things, and she was standing next to Joe Biden. I think that's what qualifies now for being vice president.
That's all you need, and it would be very Joe Biden-esque to trade out for a different model.
Yes, yes. Oh, yes, it would, Jared. Jared's back, everybody, in case you haven't noticed. And that's we miss that when you're gone. I want to mention here that this came up on West Wing Politico Playbook. They'll give you a rundown of what's going on. And it says, on Friday, Vice President Kamala Harris will give remarks to White House employees and their children on Take Your Child to Work Day. Good luck with the kids. We're sure they'll all be well-behaved and attentive. You know what the great thing about this is? She doesn't have to change the way she speaks, because she always talks as if she's in front of a room full of kindergartners. So it's going to be very natural for her. She talks to the guys at NASA like, welcome to my speech. Oh my gosh, there's so many stars in the sky. Oh, it's amazing.
I mean, listen, guys.
So, I mean, it's going to be no different.
Tails on the bus, go round and round.
Oh, the electric buses and the Venn diagrams. So that's what Kamala Harris is up to. I'm sure that's taking up most of her week, is prepping for Friday for Take Your Kids to Work Day. Now, in the meantime, as I said,
it is painful to watch.
As I mentioned, and it's weird they're having Kamala Harris oversee that and not Joe Biden. That seems like an event that he would be happy to take over, because it just involves, you know, walking around and, you know, really doing nothing, which is what Joe Biden's all about. But I did want to play this cut from AOC because it's raising eyebrows. Her and Joe Biden both made headlines with this Earth Day appearance in Virginia yesterday. Take a listen to AOC. She's trying to make the argument that what you're seeing on college campuses is mostly peaceful protests. Can I get cut four, please?
It is especially important that we remember the power of young people shaping this country today, of all days, as we once again witness the leadership of those peaceful student-led protests on campuses like Columbia, Yale, Berkeley, and many others.
Oh, Columbia, where they were chanting, "We are Hamas," and where they were chanting, "Death to America." That Columbia? What videos are you seeing?
Is this the ones where they're peacefully pushing security, campus security officers?
Or is this the, like, at NYU where the protesters carried flares and marched on NYPD headquarters, and there were over 150 arrests at NYU? Were the arrests because they were mostly peaceful? Because if so, then you have another issue that you can drone on and on about. Was this a situation where the protesters were fake handcuffed like AOC, or were they using real handcuffs? These are the questions that I hope the journalists on top of this, wink, wink, will get to. But
when you use that tone, Grace, death to anything chants sound bad.
Yeah. You know, you need context for these death to America chants, Jared. That's the key. Context matters, as Jen Psaki once told me. So AOC is saying that these are mostly peaceful protests. Joe Biden is saying that there are good people on both sides. And once again, I come to you, and I'm actually asking the callers out there, especially, I hate to do this, and maybe this is not the right thing to do, but I have to do it today. If you're a Jewish voter out there and you have an opinion on this, I would love to hear from you, because I would be curious to know if anyone, especially if you were independent moderate, I'm guessing that we don't have a ton of Democrats listening. Who knows, though? If this changed your mind, or if it didn't change your mind, like if you're like, you know what, I'm okay with Joe Biden not really coming to Israel's defense. I want to hear about that, because I do think that this is becoming, and Joe Biden, it's not even the issue is huge in and of itself. You know, Israel is actually fighting for democracy, unlike what we do here, which is talk about democracy all the time. And we do not have their backs in any, we pretend to. We'll send aid, or we'll send, you know, they can buy back weapons from us. But as far as putting up a front of looking like we support Israel, Joe Biden has completely abandoned that. And I think that was made clear when he was wandering around the woods yesterday. And that's where you should really make all of these declarations, Jared. The only thing he was missing would be like if he was Hillary Clinton and he had glass Chardonnay and maybe he was walking a dog. Unfortunately, there's no dogs left in the Biden White House for him to take with him to the woods to enjoy Earth Day. Roof, roof.
Or if he was coming out of the fields with tiki torches in hand and veins bulging on his head.
Yeah, one of the texters brought that up. That was a good catch. Let's play Biden again, though, because then I want to read you David Harsanyi's take on why this is actually very different. Like, yeah, it's funny to say that, oh, this is Joe Biden's very fine people on both sides moment, but it's important to distinguish why it's very different from Donald Trump's. So let's have Joe Biden cut one.
And the anti-Semitic protests on college campuses.
I condemn the anti-Semitic protests. That's why I've set up a program to deal with that. I also condemn those who don't understand what's going on with the Palestinians.
Don't understand what's going on with the Palestinians. Do you think he understands what's going on with the Palestinians? Do you think he understands what's going on for lunch today? Like, do you think he understands? He's going to lecture us on how we don't understand what's going on with the Palestinians. And by the way, who am I supposed to get my information from on what's going on with the Palestinians? The Ministry of Health run by Hamas? Rashida Tlaib, a member of your party who repeats propaganda from the Ministry of Health run by Hamas? Who am I supposed to be getting this information from so I can understand what's going on with the Palestinians like Joe? I just, Jared, want to be as smart as Joe Biden, okay? I just want to understand things as well as Joe Biden does. But naturally, this gets people talking. People think, oh, yeah, this sounds a lot like Donald Trump with the Charlottesville moral equivalence. And David Harsanyi wrote a piece, and he said, actually, no. And his reasoning is Trump tried to be as specific as possible that when he said very fine people on both sides, he made the point of saying, I'm not talking about the white supremacists. I'm not talking about the neo-Nazis. I'm talking about the people who were against tearing down the monument of Robert E. Lee. That's what he was there. That's what he said. And he said it over and over again because it kept getting taken out of context. But if you go back to the original cut from 2017, which I know nobody wants to do, nobody has access to like YouTube at the White House. That's a very, very important distinction. But it didn't stop Joe Biden from running wild and actually saying it was the motive. It was the thing that instigated him running for president in the first place. He also credits his presidential run to many things, like depending on which day it is, he'll say, you know, I was looking at the ceiling fan and I remember my dad telling me, honey, we don't have money for insurance and that's why I'm running for president. But one of his favorite ones is to say it's because of the very fine people. And that entire thing is a lie. So now Joe Biden's out there and he can't, and I thought, Jared, condemning things was so important because it was. Up until 3.5 years ago, denouncing things was basically what you had to do 24/7. And now let's think about what the left hasn't been able to condemn. Katie Porter can't condemn burning American flags. Rashida Tlaib cannot condemn death to America chants. Rashida Tlaib cannot condemn babies being beheaded or people being beheaded in Israel. Ilhan Omar also cannot condemn that. Joe Biden cannot condemn these anti-Israel protesters who are chanting all sorts of things, including calling Jewish students pigs. That's all out of their reach to condemn. They can't find the right words, or they have to at least follow it up with, but it's also really bad. It's also really bad to not understand the plight of the Palestinian people. God forbid they just one time do what we always do on the right, which is outright condemn things, full stop, period. That would be too much to ask. And no one should be surprised by this, but it's still disappointing. Now, the other part of this that I'll never understand is this idea that you're winning anyone over. And maybe that's really not the point. Maybe I'm starting to lean towards the point of these things is just complete disruption and destruction and chaos, because it's clear that they're not winning anyone to their side. And the perfect example is heckling Alec Baldwin at a New York City coffee shop. And this is what happens. This unhinged woman who thinks she's fighting for freedom and fighting for Palestinians and fighting for humanity and all these things. She's demanding, because this is what the far-left radicals do really well. They make demands. She's demanding that he say free Palestine. Now, Jared, in all my life, like if I believe something, right, I might sit around and talk about it with people and I might think, oh, I wish I could convince you to believe what I believe, or I wish I could make you see my point of view, or I wish I could just say how I feel and get it off my chest, and whether you take it or leave it, that's fine. But never in my life have I thought, if I can just get this person to parrot two words, then I will stop heckling them at a coffee shop.
And I've been off for, I was off yesterday, so I haven't really been paying too much attention over the weekend. Is there some relation between Alec Baldwin and this topic?
You know, the relation.
Or is this just like a random celebrity? I got to get, like, did something prompt this? Or did she just say, hey, there's Alec Baldwin?
No, the relation is Alec Baldwin is, I'm trying to think of a proper, like, pop culture term. He is always at the center of the storm. He is always at the eye of the storm. Chaos surrounds him. And it's kind of like this beautiful thing. No matter where he goes, whether he's just walking down the street, he ends up in an anti-Israel protest march, and then he ends up yelling at people, whether he's parking his Range Rover. I mean, this man cannot escape complete chaos. Obviously, the really tragic thing involved the shooting of Halyna Hutchinson during that movie that he was producing. But everywhere he goes, chaos follows. Chaos ensues. And it doesn't help that he has a temper like you would not believe. You want to talk about someone with anger management issues, Alec Baldwin's at the top of the list. So he's at this Starbucks. Take a listen to what happens.
Alec, can you please say free Palestine one time? Why did you kill that lady? You killed that lady and got no jail time? No jail time, Alec? No jail time, Alec. You're putting innocent people in jail, Alec Baldwin.
I'm so sorry.
Free Palestine, Alec, just one time, and I'll leave you alone. I'll leave you alone, I swear. Just say free Palestine one time. One time. One time.
Call the police.
One time, Alec. You know he's a criminal. You know he's a f***ing criminal. Come on, Alec, just say free Palestine one time. One time, just one time, please. And I'll leave you alone. Free Palestine. Israel, Zionism. Please say it. One time.
Could you give me one quick favor?
Again, when you have made Grace Curley feel bad for Alec Baldwin and take Alec Baldwin's side, you have done the unthinkable. You are so unsuccessful in whatever this endeavor is that you're embarking on. You have made me feel bad for Alec Baldwin. Never in my life did I think I'd be here. So congrats. Congrats to this anti-Israel movement. You've made me, I won't say a fan of Alec Baldwin, But in this case, I'm Team Alec for sure.
How do you say cucumber?
Cucumbers.
Yeah, yeah. And I guess, you know, I'm Team Ilaria just because. Because I have to be. If I'm going to go in on the Baldwins, I'm going to go all in. Cucumber and all.
I mean, that's just so random.
She was throwing in a lot of different headlines.
Yeah, there was like this is like randomly walking up to, I don't know, you know, it's in Boston. Fine, you see Mark Wahlberg.
Sacred
I need
Boston.
You to say these two words. It's like what are we doing?
But these people who are part of this movement, they don't even know. Like, I bet if Alec Baldwin had turned around and asked her a question about this conflict, I don't think she would have the answers. But I'm glad he didn't respond, because any response would have been the headline. And in this case, him just standing there quietly, it really makes her look like an ass. That's what Howie always says. When two people are fighting on camera, you just both look ridiculous. But if one person just doesn't say anything, you automatically win the argument. We'll be right back. We'll take your calls. Thomas, everybody else, stay on the lines. We'll be right back. Don't go anywhere. It's the Grace Curley Show.
You're listening to the Grace Curley Show. This is the Grace Curley Show.
Turtle Boy's back in court today for his own charges. You know, obviously it has to do with the Karen Reed case, but it's not the one we're all following with the juror selection. But I'll keep you guys posted if we find out any more information. Maybe I'll shoot him a text later, see how it went. Thomas, you're up next on the Grace Curley Show. Go ahead, Thomas.
Yeah, hey, Grace, I just wanted to straighten one thing out about Trump when he made that very fine speech. The first thing he said when he was standing with Elaine Chao about that protest or that event, he said, number one, we strongly denounce neo-Nazis and white supremacists. That's a given. And then a minute and a half later, he went in and he said, there were very fine people on both sides of the issue. That got turned into Donald Trump defending neo-Nazis.
Absolutely. I totally agree with you. And Thomas, I just want to read this. This is from Harsanyi. Trump's garbled line was almost surely not aimed at tiki torch neo-Nazis. Believe what you like about Trump's motivations, but he also later unequivocally condemned the white supremacists on more than one occasion. Biden, on the other hand, can't even get himself to call out brown shirts without throwing them a bone. Also, incidentally, unlike the nuts in Virginia, this is a really key part. These people will be working at our top law firms and media organizations and in the State Department. Oh, and the president also wants you to pay their loans. Just a key difference. We'll be right back.